Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
The Yule Elf is responsible for bringing holiday music to the world and occasionally clean up the iced tea that they spill. It better be entertaining for me, too. Charlie's very nervous and focused on that task. Maybe
the sun. Hi, and welcome to the HarmaCast. I'm Dean Martin, your host, and you're listening to the Alexandria Harmonizers audio podcast or audio cast. Coming up on this show, we're going to talk about the upcoming Harmonizers holiday show. December 4th and 5th. There's four different shows that you have to choose from. Going to be talking to two key players in that show, Terry Reynolds and Scipio Garling. So we're looking forward to that interview coming up shortly. While you're listening to the interview, you can stop over at the Alexander Harmonizers website, which is harmonizers.org. There's a ticket way to purchase tickets online on the homepage of the website, so it's easy to find. There are two, as mentioned, two dates, four different shows that you can choose from to fit your schedule. There's still tickets left, although the last couple years tickets have sold out, so you're going to want to get there early and get the tickets that you need. As far as the HarmaCast, you can listen to this show online, of course, at our website, or subscribe on iTunes or any of the other podcast aggregators that are there, and have it delivered automatically to your MP3 player or iPod, whichever you prefer. Well, I'm excited about our show today, and I think you're going to enjoy our time together. I had wanted to get a couple guys together to talk about the holiday show coming up, the Harmonizers holiday show. I was lucky enough to get two incredible guests together at one time. Both Scipio Garling and Terry Reynolds agreed to talk to me this afternoon. So I'll introduce both of them to you at this time. Start with Scipio, who is the script writer for the show. Scipio has been in Barbershop for 15 years, been a harmonizer for 15 years. Claim to fame is Bachelor Party. He's been a tenor in the Bachelor Party Quartet. Is currently Vice President of Marketing for the Harmonizers. Used to be a presentation guy. Scipio, how are you doing today?
Great.
Anything?
Looking forward to the holidays.
Hey, cool. Yes, coming up. Anything glaringly missing in your bio that I should have said?
Nope.
And how did I get lucky enough to catch you in the middle of the afternoon here on a Monday and ability to talk to me?
Because nothing could be more important than marketing this holiday show.
Woohoo! All right. Also, I have Terry Reynolds. Terry was an associate director for the Harmonizers for a good many years, up until 2007. He was also in Bachelor Party Quartet and was an incredible,
yep,
incredible bass, as you can tell by his deep voice. You've been in the Harmonizers since 1992, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, I have to start with Bachelor Party a little bit here. Mike Fasano was a friend of mine from the Frederick Catoctones, and I knew that he was the most recent tenor in Bachelor Party and that you guys were doing the Music Man, and I've just had to come and see that show. It was a great theater, a great show. But I got to tell you, Bachelor Party stole the show. They were incredible. You guys were incredible on that show. Maybe you could just tell me a sentence or two of what that experience meant.
Sure, Dean. I really appreciate that, and we appreciate all the barbershoppers that came out to see us. It's just an incredible experience. It's something that every barbershopper should do once in his life, to have the opportunity to sing the quartet role in the Music Man. There's really that one role in Americana musical theater that features barbershop, and we had the opportunity to do it and had a great time doing it.
You could tell that the audience, of course, really fell in love with you guys, and the remaining cast also. I've seen the Music Man a number of times, but never, I hate to say this, with a real barbershop quartet singing the part. But it just seemed like from singing together night after night, you guys were just locked together and you know, knew what each other were doing. I was kind of jealous of that kind of quartet relationship and really imagine that had to be a lot of fun.
It was an absolute blast.
Well, the reason I wanted to get both of you on the line today was to talk about the Harmonizers holiday show coming up. There's a lot of buzz about the show, and I'm kind of new to Harmonizers and an outsider to the show. Unfortunately, have never seen one of your holiday shows. I guess that's to my detriment, but But what is, we just came off the killer fall show. A lot of good reviews, a lot of people saying it's, one of the best shows that, most entertaining shows that they've seen us do. Why all the buzz about the holiday show? There must be something special about it. Everyone is excited. The tickets are selling fast. Tell me a little bit about what makes this show special.
Well, the holiday show, Dean, isn't like any of our other shows in that it's much more intimate. There's much more direct interaction with the harmonizers. First of all, it's a dinner theater, which is great and relaxing for everyone involved and delicious. And the harmonizers are the waiters of the show. So they get to actually meet and interact with the patrons and occasionally clean up the iced tea that they spill. What's more intimate?
That's my favorite part.
Your favorite part is clean up iced tea.
The holiday show is also a scripted show.
Okay.
And one of our funniest, because we can do whatever we darn well please. And it winds up being a lot of fun. And you'd be surprised the kind of things that we can work into a Christmas show.
Now, Terry, he wrote the show, so he has to say it's the funniest. Tell me the truth. Is it really the funniest show?
Well, I'm as one of the lead actors in it, I think I'm not that totally biased in the at least in that question as well.
So yeah,
it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and that owes everything to Terry's comedic talents. When Noah Van Gilder, who is my co-author on the script, and I agreed to write the show this year and last year, which is the first time we did it, we both agreed we couldn't possibly do this unless Terry were the centerpiece. As soon as we began writing the role of Jack in the Box, I said, well, I can only write this if I picture Terry doing these lines.
Cool.
And, I'm just such a shy person.
You are a shy person, yes.
I hate attention.
Yes, and Joe Cerruti looked at me and Noah and said, well, I don't know. Terry's kind of taking a break. He's on sabbatical. Do you think you could, could you really prevail upon him to twist his arm to get him to do this? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Cool.
And I'm very glad that it wasn't a problem and that Terry volunteered to come out of performing retirement to do it. It was a smashing success. We had children last year, forget about Santa Claus. They wanted their picture taken with Jack in the Box.
Cool. Well, it's become somewhat of a tradition now, I guess. How long ago did it start, and what really was the impetus for starting the show?
Well, there's been quite an evolution of holiday shows that the Harmonizers have done. Many years ago, under Scott Warner, it was more a community show. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was free or cheap tickets, I don't remember exactly, and it was an opportunity to have several other groups within Alexandria come perform together, and we were just the hosts. And it was very informal and fun and good community relations, but basically just singing a handful of carols and then having other groups sing. When Richard Whelan became our director, for a few years, stopped doing a serious fall show and put our effort on doing a more serious, formal Christmas show, holiday show, in a theater like a fall show. But we did it scripted, half the show scripted, doing silly things like we do now with elves and costumes and so forth. But the second half, some more serious music but in the theatrical setting. It was our current director, Joe Cerruti's concept to translate that to a dinner theater, which keeps the fun of grown men dressed up as elves and allows it to do it in a more, as Skippy said earlier, intimate setting of dinner theater, and the elves are actually serving you your spaghetti or whatever we're serving that year.
We've also maintained the tradition of having guest groups on the show. This year, we're having a contingent from the Vienna Falls Women's Chorus on the Saturday luncheon show. And on the Friday evening show, we're having Capital Swing, which is a quartet from the Potomac Harmony Women's Group. And on Saturday afternoon, we're having Midnight Special, which is another quartet from Potomac Harmony. So we're delighted to be able to feature some of our fellow barbershoppers in the area on the show as well.
Okay. I know that you have a collegiate a cappella group on, and Cameron Station, which is a subgroup of harmonizers, is on. I didn't realize that you actually had other quartets that weren't going to be on every show. How do you have it free form enough that you can, for one show, have a quartet or a group on that's not on one of the other shows?
There's a guest spot structured into the show after between the scripted portion and the caroling portion.
Gotcha.
And that's taken by a different performer with each show, which gives exposure to more groups without having a full-time 3 or 4 show commitment like the harmonizers need to have. It works out well for everyone.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it makes sense. You guys both mentioned the guys in the chorus actually serving the tables, and it was fun to see the email that Brad sent out earlier in the week. He said, somehow I have a table of 10 that I promised to someone, and they're not going to be able to use it. Maybe if someone else could use it, and it was like 10 minutes later, he said, I'm sorry, this table was sold like 5 times over. So,
yeah, the holiday show has been sold out consistently since we started doing it as a dinner theater.
Yeah.
In fact, this year we have had to add a 4th performance in order to meet demand. So anyone out there listening, get your tickets today.
Well, my point with that question is one of the appeals is that you guys actually come out at some point, I assume, during the show and serve food to the tables. And so, you know, guys like to sell a whole table of their friends, and I guess they get made fun of a bit if they would spill stuff or at their limited serving capabilities. But tell me a little bit about how that works.
Well, we try and keep it fairly simple, both for the patrons and for the harmonizers, who are not professional waiters.
Oh, really?
Most of them. What we do is we provide a delicious, simple fare dinner. It's lasagna, green beans, salad, iced tea, which often gets spilled, coffee, that kind of thing. And then, cakes and cookies that the harmonizers have brought or bought for dessert. And then we can, it makes it much easier for us to serve anybody that way as opposed to an individual plate.
This is a question for Terry. Terry, everyone that I've talked to about the show mentions you and your character as being one of the draws. And without giving the storyline away and without seeming too self-serving, can you tell me a little bit about how long you've been involved in the show and what is it about your character that everyone seems to love?
Well, and that character was actually just introduced last year.
Oh, okay.
Whole different concept. So this is only the second year with the character of Jack in the Box. So actually, maybe Scipio...
Certainly.
It was his concept.
It was Scipio's idea.
Where it came from. Oh, yeah.
You owe all your success to Scipio.
Oh, well.
We're not going to go that far.
No, I told you it was going to be like this, Dean. Well, the original idea that we came up with the script for last year was between me and Noah and Joe Cerruti. And the idea was that we wanted to have something which was, simple, but could be very funny, but which didn't require enormous amounts of time and talking, so that singing is maximized, singing and humor are maximized. So the idea that everybody on stage is dressed as either an elf or a toy, and they are the residents of Toyland, and they're preparing for Christmas. Terry's character, Jack, who is a giant jack-in-the-box, and then we have built a giant man-sized jack-in-the-box on stage, which last year spit out smoke. Don't ask about that.
But cool.
That box does all sorts of things if we wanted to. But he is responsible for keeping Christmas fun, and we generally pair him with another character who is concerned about getting Christmas done on time.
Okay.
And so one of the overall lessons of the show is that it's important to do what you need to do for Christmas time, but not to forget that it's supposed to be an enjoyable holiday for everyone involved, including the audience.
Cool. And I understand you've once again written the script this year. Can you give us a bit of an inside look without giving too much away?
Sure. Well, the ink is barely dry. but the actors are already practicing their lines in the distance. I can hear them now.
Sure they are.
Terry's looking at the script right now when he's not talking. I can tell. I can hear him.
Hear his eyeballs. It is in my briefcase.
I can hear his eyeballs moving. Last year, the irrepressible Jack's foil was the button-down head elf who was very anxious to get Santa going out on time on his Christmas rounds. This year, Jack is paired against his nephew, Charlie in the Box, who's a nervous young man who's been made the Yule Elf. The Yule Elf is responsible for bringing holiday music to the world, and Charlie's very nervous and focused on that task, and his Uncle Jack is trying to help him lighten up a bit.
He's just way too serious.
One of the secondary themes, though, is that Charlie is anxious to put a little more modern pizzazz into holiday music. It doesn't always have to be so square.
Cool.
And they're trying to reach an accord on that process.
And what is it about your, and I hate to say demented, personality that allows you to come up with these odd storylines?
Well, for an ordinary person, that would be alcohol. But I don't drink, as everybody knows. I don't drink. But well, let's just put it this way: I have to stand there on stage and listen to this stuff. It better be entertaining for me too.
I guess
it has to be fun for the chorus and not just for the audience, and that's why we try and have this be interesting.
Gotcha. There is also a silent auction involved. How does that fit into the scheme of things? I assume that raises money for one of the chorus's projects.
Yes, it's a fundraiser for the chorus. Christmas is a time for giving, and what better way of doing that than by buying something at the silent auction that you can then gift to somebody else.
Okay.
While benefiting the chorus. We've tasked one of our newer members, Phil Ferguson, who is already ably gathering a lot of high-quality items, including, I believe, a television and a nice computer. So,
cool. Now, Phil is a tall, good-looking lead out in front of me in the chorus. Is that correct?
Debatable, but yes.
Very nice voice. Yeah, I haven't got to meet all the guys personally, but he has a very nice voice.
Such a nice young man.
Yeah.
Such a nice young man. In fact, Phil is also part of the new a cappella group you were mentioning, along with Tom Krause, who plays Charlie in the Box.
I see. Well, anything else? I don't want to keep this, make this go too long. Anything else that I forgot to ask that I should know about the show?
Well, you should know that we're having Greg Pappas on the show. Greg Pappas is a famous, he's a Mexican speed painter. Why does everybody laugh when I keep saying that? He's an amazingly talented
because it sounds so unbelievable.
Mexican speed painter.
It's what I think of when I think of the holidays. Greg
is a
big fan of Barbershop, the Harmonizers in particular. He's a good friend of Joe Cerruti's, and he's going to be in town. And there'll be a portion of the show where Greg does his famous speed painting, where he paints within a space of 5 or 6 minutes a full black and white, astonishing photorealistic painting of something. Well, you don't know what it is until he's done it. It's amazing. Paints the whole thing upside down, which makes it harder for you to perceive what he's doing. And his painting that he does right there in the spot in front of you will then be part of the silent auction. And anybody can see Greg's work online if they want.
Yeah, he's got a couple YouTube videos up. In fact, they're on his website. I'll stick a link to his website in the show notes.
I can't wait to see this.
Well, I've really appreciated both of you taking a couple minutes here today. And I have to say, I don't know everything that both of you do in the chorus, except that oftentimes when you hear of something exciting happening behind the scenes, one of you two's name comes up. The other day, it was the middle of chorus practice, and Joe was going through some notes on something, and I saw Terry behind all the risers taking notes. And so, you know, I think part of the success of the harmonizers has to be guys like you in the background that just do so much more than what anybody ever knows. And so really appreciate both you guys.
Thank you. Yes, there are many people in the background making things happen.
There has to be. Appreciate both of you taking time today. And hopefully down the road we'll have some other stuff to talk about. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Dean.
Well, I had a great time talking to both those guys. Appreciate them, both Terry and Scipio, taking time out of their schedules to give me a short interview. Make sure to get your tickets before they run out. Harmonizers.org, which is the Alexander Harmonizers website. There's a place there to purchase tickets online. 4 different shows, 2 different dates to fit your schedule. Or if you'd like to purchase by phone, you can call 703-910-4600. That's 703-910-4600. Thank you for listening to HarmaCast. You can listen to us online at HarmaCast.com. And I know many of you have, because I noticed this morning that we went over our bandwidth limit and we're locked out of the hosting account there for a while. But so we upgraded that and we're good to go. So anyway, you can listen to us online, or at the top right on the website, you can subscribe through iTunes or Zune or whatever MP3 player you might have and get it automatically delivered to your MP3 player every time a new show comes online. If you're a man who likes to sing, or know a man who likes to sing, come and see what the Harmonizers are all about. Harmonizers.org, there's directions to our Tuesday evening practices there on the website. And some contact information if you have any questions. But practices are open to, or chapter meetings are open to the public, so anyone can come and either sing with us or sit and watch us practice. I drive a little over 2 hours to get there, so if you're anywhere within that kind of radius of Alexandria, Virginia, come and see what we're all about. I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening to the HarmaCast, and we'll see you back here next time.
First time in 23 years, our minds are synchronized.